Tonight we're going to discuss a topic which is extremely, extremely important and relevant for all year long. But as we'll see in the shiur, there's sometimes where it's more relevant than others. And as we go through the shiur, you'll notice why I specifically gave the shiur this week and not last week before Asar B'Teves, because we're going to discuss the Zmanim. Now today we have websites and we have printouts of all the various Zmanim, when they are, what, how to calculate them. But we're going to see tonight that we have to be somewhat careful when using Zmanim charts to make sure we understand what we're reading and making sure it's the right chart for us. There are numerous Zmanim throughout the Jewish day that play an important role in many different things, predominantly in the davening experience, davening in Kriya Shema. But as we'll see tonight, there are Zmanim that are relevant for other areas besides for that. So let's start with what I consider the beginning of the day. Even though there are those who discuss this topic, they start with Tzeis HaKechavim first, because in Judaism, the night is the begins the day. But for us, for our purposes tonight, we're going to start with the day. I will reference often a sefer, a terrific sefer, written in English, that not only explains the halachic backgrounds of Zmanim, it also explains a lot of the scientific understandings of Zmanim. It's written, the sefer is called Sefer Devar Yoyim, terrific sefer by a fellow in Lakewood, Rabbi David de Bronfeld. It's a contemporary sefer, I think it came out in 2013. It's a terrific sefer. I'm not going to tackle the scientific parts of this sugya, because it's beyond my understanding. But for those of you who are interested in understanding the scientific makeup of all these things, he has great diagrams and pictures. It's terrific. It's a great sefer to have. Much of the sources come from there, but we'll see some other things as well tonight. But if you want to learn more about Zmanim in general, this is something you're interested in, definitely one of the great Svarim that are written today in English, the footnotes are in Hebrew, so this way you feel like you're learning a Sefer also, you don't have to feel so guilty. But it's a terrific Sefer written, and all the Zmanim written, I would assume it's available in the Svarim stores. It's a terrific Sefer, Sefer Devar Yoyim. Terrific Sefer. Okay, so we're going to start talking about the first Zman that pops up on the Zmanim chart that we have here in the shul, or the My Zmanim app that you can get today. The first Zman that they give you is known as Alois HaShachar. Alois HaShachar. What's interesting is if you look in Tanakh, it's referred to as Alois HaShachar, but when you come to the Gemara and the Mishnah, it's referred to as Amur HaShachar. Okay, but it's the same idea. What we call today Alois HaShachar is the beginning of the Jewish day. What exactly is Alois HaShachar? So the definition that they bring down is when the light begins to dawn on the eastern horizon. That's the definition by the Rambam Pesach Mishnayos for what Alois HaShachar is. There is a Ber Halacha, which we'll see later, that says do not confuse it with what people call the morning star. The morning star is really the planet of Venus. Okay? That's not what Alois HaShachar is. So that we'll put aside. What is the significance for understanding Alois HaShachar? So there's a very important Mishnah in Megillah Dav Chaf. Says the Mishnah Megillah Dav Chaf, Ein Kerenis Megillah, you're not allowed to read the Megillah during the day. Veloy Malin, you're not allowed to perform a bris milah. Veloy Tovlin, you're not allowed to do a tefillah during the day. Veloy Mazin, you're not allowed to sprinkle afar paraduma. Okay, the rest of the Mishnah is not so negeya. Ad shetena tacham. You need to wait till what's known as Neitz Hacham. Now, the truth is, the proper way to pronounce those words are really Haneitz Hacham. If you listen to people talk about Zmanim, the proper pronunciation of the word is not Neitz Hacham. It should really be Haneitz Hacham. Not because you're saying the Neitz HaChama, because then the word should also be Hashkia, and no one calls it Hashkia. So the word Haneitz, there's a word Haneitz. The word Haneitz means to bud. It's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. So Haneitz HaChama means the budding of the sun. So the proper pronunciation of that word, I won't always say it tonight, not because it's not right, just sometimes we forget what's proper. But for a grammatic point of view, the proper way to pronounce that slot is called Haneitz HaChama. If you listen to those who lecture on these manim, they will always pronounce it properly. It's not Neitz HaChama. The proper pronunciation is Haneitz HaChama, coming from the word Haneitz, which means to bud. So says the Mishnah, all the above things may not be done until Haneitz HaChama. Just to put it in perspective, Haneitz HaChama tomorrow in Woodmere is 7:19 a.m. Okay, 7:19 a.m. is Haneitz for tomorrow. So if a person wants to make a bris milah tomorrow, the bris milah should not take place before 7:19. The moil, the bagels can be all there, but no ma'aseh milah till 7:19. Says the Mishnah, v'kulon sha'aso misha'olo amur hashachar. But all of the above, if they took place earlier at what's called amur hashachar, here's where the Mishnah calls it amud, we call it alois, says the Mishnah, kasha. B'dievet, if any of the above procedures, which preferably should be done after Netzachama, if they were done after Alois, they're kosher. So obviously it's very integral for us to figure out when is HaNetzachama. We have to know if a person does a bris milah too early, is it valid? If it's before Alois HaShachar, then it's nighttime, it's not valid. If a person reads Megillah really early, he reads he wants to get to work on Purim, so he really gets up really early for Shachris, and he reads Megillah very early in the morning, so it might be too early. So if it's after Alois HaShachar, b'dievet yoytze. So here we're being exposed to two very important times. We have what's known as Alois HaShachar, which is B'dievet territory, and we have Netzachama, which is L'chatchila territory. The $1 million question for tonight's shiur is, how do you calculate Alois HaShachar? When exactly is Alois HaShachar? How do we figure it out? Now, why exactly is it kosher B'dievet after Alois, but not L'chatchila? We're going to talk about my Zman HaDakan. The intro to the shiur was, you have to be careful when using these types of programs, because you have to understand where they're coming from. So we'll talk about it. Says Rashi, very important Rashi over here in the Mishnah. This Rashi is repeated about 3 times in the Mishnah Berurah in various halachas. Why can't I give a milah until a Netzachama? Why do I have to wait? Says Rashi, V'kulon she'o, someone's like Rashi. Deme Alois HaShachar yemamuhu. Says Rashi, let me tell you the truth. Really, after Alois HaShachar, it's daytime. And that's why b'dieved, I can give her bismillah and lein Megillah. So why not l'chatchila? Avol, says Rashi, l'fishein akol b'kiyim boi, because they didn't have ma'izmanim in the times of the Gemara, and people weren't clear on the difference between when Alois is and when HaNetzacham is. We were scared. So tzrich l'hamten ad HaNetzacham. We were afraid that if we're going to allow people l'chatchila to start doing mitzvahs at Alois HaShachar, many people will jump the gun and do it even before Alois HaShachar. And you're not yoytze at all. So we basically put in a barrier to prevent people from doing it incorrectly. You have to wait till HaNetzacham. Okay. So we know that the earliest time to do any mitzvahs hayoyim is at Alois HaShachar, but the Evel Lechatchila Netzacham. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei and Hilchas Milo, says the Mechaber, a molin at Shetei Netzachama. You may not give a bismilo until it hits Netzacham, which tomorrow will be 7:19. So if you're going to a bris tomorrow, the bris, the circumcision part, cannot start till 7:19. Says the Shulchan Aruch, U'mishaolah hamar HaShachar yatsa. But let's say b'dievet, the Moral didn't know, and the Rabbi didn't know, and no one knew, and they did the bris milo after Alois, so you yatsa b'dievet. You can do bris milah all day. So we know why we do bris milah early in the morning. It's because it's Zviza Makdim. So here the Shulchan Aruch is basically repeating the words of the Mishnah, that the preferred time for bris milah is after Nates, but after Alois is Kosh. If you look in the Tur in Hilchas Milah, he writes something a little different. The Tur writes, Zman ha-milah b'yom shemayinu l'leidasi. The proper time for bris milah is on the 8th day. U'b'yom v'loy b'layla. You can't do bris milah at night. U'misha'olo omar ha-shachar shal yom. Shmini Shmoino Hu Tchilas Manoi. Says the Rambam, what's the starting time for a bismila? Alois HaShachar on day 8. V'cholayim kasha, but you could technically do it the whole day. L'kach elosh shesviza makdim l'mitzvahs. So this Torah is extremely misleading. This Torah almost sounds like that l'chatchila you could do the bismila at Netzachama. That's exactly against our Mishnah. So the Beis Yosef over here, number 5, points this out. The Beis Yosef says something's not right with this Torah. This Torah is against our Mishnah. So the Beis Yosef says, no. What must have happened here, or there's some words missing in the Torah. You have to add words. Says the Beis Yosef, El Shiesh B'divi Rabbeinu Chisaron. There are some words missing in the Torah. Shahavli Lichtov, what the Torah should have added is the Hainu B'divi. When you can use Ne, you can use Allah, it's only B'divi. Aval Lechatchila, Eimal Anach Ha'Netzachama. But no, but Lechatchila, you have to wait till Netz. It's a Mefurish Mishnah, says the Beis Yosef. How could the Torah argue in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says clearly that using after Alois is only a B'dievet. So the Beis Yosef therefore fixes some words in the Torah. If you look in the other places where this halacha comes up, as I mentioned to you, it comes up Shofar, Lulav, Megillah. Nowhere else does the Torah write it as cryptic as he writes it over here. So there's a mashal that everyone talks about. It's more of a milah shayla, where the mashal has a pshat how to answer up the Torah. But in any case, the assumption is like the Beis Yosef, that of course even milah is also, like the Mishnah says, only done the chatchila after Nates, b'dievet after Alois. Okay? Let's go on to another area which I picked. Again, the shayla of doing mitzvahs b'yoyim is negated to 4 major mitzvahs. Milah, shayfer. Shofar can only be blown during the day. Lulav. And as we'll see in a few minutes, it's going to be relevant to tefillah also. Now, I personally picked Megillah to talk about because I think that's the most relevant for many people. Most of us are not waking up early to shake a lulav at a questionable time about Alois and Eitz. We sleep late on Sukkot. So that's not such a shaila. But Megillah is a very big shaila because many people go to work on Purim and they're rushing and they want to know what's the earliest time to daven. Now, again, putting aside the davening, you have to think about the Megillah. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens in number 6. Chayiv Odom Likras HaMegillah B'layla. A person must read the Megillah at night, and read it again during the day. How late can someone read Megillah for the Megillah reading at night? The whole night. What about the Megillah day reading? Says the Mechaber, when do you start? After Nates, like the Mishnah says. But let's say you went to a very early minyan on Purim morning, as long as you got to Megillah after Alois, Yatza, you Yatza, Bidiyavit. It's not Lechatchila. It's Bidiyavit, but you Yatza.
And you could do Megillah before davening?
Pashtus, you could. Right.
You could be able to daven before Alois,
that's
right?
Right, you can't daven before Alois, but you'd be able to hear Megillah. No, this is after Alois. This is, again, this is all after Alois.
But I'm saying if I want to do the
correct.
Alois, I'm not allowed to daven before.
Correct, yeah. Correct. You cannot. That's right. You'll daven, I guess, later on. You'll daven in your office or something. But let's say, for example, you can catch Megillah B'tzibah. That would be B'di'evid Yaitz. The Mishnah Berurah writes something over here, which is not for our sugya, but something worth mentioning.
Is that B'di'evid, Rabbi?
What? After Aloy?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you did it, it's very B'di'evid. But look at this Mishnah Berurah number 7. I put it down because I think it's very interesting.
Okay.
So let's see. So that's what we would have thought. B'di'evid means someone botched up on the Zmanim. Right? Someone wasn't careful when he made the Zmanim. Not that the rabbi puts down the Zman in the shul and everyone comes. But the Mishnah Berurah does write something interesting. The Mishnah Berurah writes in number 7, Fim ha'yo oynis k'tzas, if you're a little bit of an oynis, yochel l'kreis l'chadchila mish'amar ashach, then you may even read the Megillah l'chadchila. Now, what is an oynis k'tzas? Does that mean you have a meeting? It means you have to be at work? I'm not sure. I'm going to leave that for now, not to discuss. But I'm just mentioning a very interesting chiddush from the Mishnah Berurah. According to the Mishnah Berurah, although the Mishnah says very clearly that it's only b'di'evid, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have a pressing reason that you, whatever an oynis k'tzas is, I'm not sure how to define that, going to work, a meeting, I'm not sure. But then you may even do it l'chadchila. But normally, it sounds like it, like the Mishnah seems pashtus, it's only b'di'evid. Now, we have a term, shas hadchak kid b'di'evid dami. That's the term Rabbanim use a lot. If a person's in a pressing situation, it has the same status as a b'di'evid. Which means, let's say a person knows he needs to be at a certain place at a certain time. It's not a b'di'evid, it didn't happen yet. But since it's a pressing, we give it the status of a b'di'evid, which should be negated to this halach. So again, if a person has to be at work Purim morning, okay, we're not going to discuss now whether or not a person should work or shouldn't work on Purim. It's beyond tonight's share. He has to, for whatever the case may be, or not even work-related. He has a doctor's appointment. He has a procedure being done, whatever the case may be. So according to this Mishnah Berurah, he may lechatchila hear Megillah after Alois HaShachar. Now, he might have a hard time finding a minyan, because who else wants to do that, unless you have a whole group of people that have to be there. But that's the halacha. So it's very important for us to know when Alois HaShachar is. You need to know when Alois is, to know when the earliest time I could be able to mikra Megillah.
So been a shiloh that up when Alos would be. Would we say that if we knew precisely Alos, then l'chadchila?
Correct. That's what it sounds like for the Mishnah.
So that's what they're really saying. This man has, I don't know the Mishnah Berurah, but Tur, maybe they didn't have clocks. But as precise. But today, let's say we know exactly when
Okay, that's not going to change. From the times of the Mishnah, they had this gzeira. We're stuck with it now. Although you can argue that today, anyone can read a Ma'izmanim chart and see when Nate is versus Alois, unless we can override that gzeira derabanan. We're stuck. So that seems like no one's debating that we can override that gzeira derabanan. The question is, how much wiggle room do we have? Do we have only a b'di'evid wiggle room, or even l'chadchila if it's pressing? So that's a major issue that we need to know when Alois HaShachar is.
If you're a Baal Kori and somebody says, listen, I got a procedure tomorrow, do blame to me for Alois. As the Baal Korei, you make a bracha for him at that point?
Yeah, l'chayr. L'chayr you would. Yeah, 100%. L'chayr that in that case you would, because you're Yaitzeh B'di'evit. Let's talk about another case where Alois is extremely important, and this is now after the fact, so we can talk about it a little bit more open, a tightness. When do Jewish fast days start? Besides for Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. When do they start? So the Shulchan Aruch paskens clearly, number 8, called Tainish Shloichlim B'Av B'Layla, any tightness where you're allowed to eat the night before, meaning a tainus that's not a 24-hour fast day. Bein tzibur ben yachid, whether it's a private or an individual. Let's say, for example, someone who's getting married that day. So he's fasting a tainus for a chasana. When does the fast start? Says the Shulchan Aruch, hareza oichel v'sheisa achi yala amur ha-shachar. The fast day starts at alois. Okay, we got to know when alois ha-shachar is. So that's why if you looked at many different shuls, they give different starting times for the fast. What's the machlokes? Alois ha-shachar, it's very clear. The Shulchan Aruch says the fast starts at alois ha-shachar. What's the cause for the discrepancy? We will get to in a few minutes tonight, I hope. So these are, so far, three examples of why it's so important for us to know when alois ha-shachar is. For the main thing is, when did Asar B'Teva start last week? That's A. B, B'di'evit for Kriyas HaMegillah. Three, B'di'evit for taking Lulav. And B'di'evit for Kriyas Shofar, for Shmiya Shofar. Let's say, for example, a person needs to, whatever the case may be, and he wants to hear Shofar early. How early can? So Shofar is a little bit more easier because a person can blow Shofar by himself. Lulav, you can check by yourself. Megillah, maybe you can't read by yourself. You have to get a Bakir. But let's say a person has a relative in a hospital, and he wants to spend the day with the relative. So he figures, I'm going to get up early, do what I need to do, and then I'm going to go travel. How early can you get up and do those mitzvahs hayyim? How early can you shake lulav? How early can you hear shayfa? So that's what we need to see.
This is a little inconsistent in terms of the fast should be hanetz.
Why?
Because if we're saying everything else...
No, we're saying that real Jewish day starts at alois. That's really when Jewish day starts. But lechatchila, for tanesim, we're going to be more machmir. That's why it starts at the real time instead of the rabbanan gzeira time. Meaning real Jewish day starts at alois. That's what comes out. So that's why the fast starts at alois. It's just that for mitzvahs, we were machmir.
It sounds like if you, what you're saying, if you're actually able to find the alos, 100? It's better to do it then. That's really, that's just reasonable.
Well, no. Well, it depends on the mitzvah. Well, yes, by everything except for Shemoneh Esrei, well, that's the whole idea of davening nates, which we'll get to in a few minutes. You're right. In theory, if Chazal would have had clocks in Ma'izman today, they probably would have done things differently. But now that we have it the way it is, and no one seems to be suggesting that we're going to override the Chachamim, so we're still back to our original rules that nates is the lachatchila and alois is b'di'evit. In theory.
Right. But based on the Mepharshim.
Correct. Based on the way. Exactly right. The Mr. Brewer writes this in many places. That's right. It's a Chumrah. Correct. Yeah. That's what we got to get to right now. We got to get to the right now. All those early minyanim we're going to deal with in a second. So till now we've been talking about mitzvahs that are not directly related to davening. So I wanted to bring out the idea that alois is not only a davening related zman. People think of alois, it's connected to davening. It's connected to a lot of things. It's connected to a bris milah. It's connected to a fast day. And it's connected to Megillah. The next major area where alois is relevant is davening. Why? The Shulchan Aruch paskin the Siman Pei Tes, Zman Tfilas HaShachar. When should Shemoneh Esrei be recited? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mitzvah Soi Sheyaschil Im Hanetz HaCham. This is the idea of Vasikin, that Shemoneh Esrei should take place at Netz HaCham. It says in the Pasuk, Yeru'uch Em Shemesh, which this time of year, again, Netz is 7:19. It's not very hard to make Netz, right? It's not as early as it is in the summer. So you're supposed to lechatchila get to Shemoneh Esrei at Netz. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'mispal misha'olam al ha-shachar. Let's say b'di'eved, you jumped the gun, and you need to be somewhere. So you set Shemoneh Esrei after alois ha-shachar. V'heir p'nei mizrach, whatever that is, that's a shift for a different time, yotza. B'di'eved, you were yotza. So again, you have to know when alois ha-shachar is to know what is the earliest possible time that I can recite Shemoneh Esrei and still be yotza. Again, if a person gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, in the winter, and he says Shemoneh Esrei, he's not Yotzeh. Maybe Yotzeh Ma'ariv. He's not Yotzeh Shachris. What is the earliest time to daven Shachris? The answer is Alois HaShachar. Now again, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch sounds like it's only B'di'evit, which means anyone who davened at a 6:30 minyan today, or a 6:45 minyan, davened B'di'evit. Okay, that's what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch. Today, Netz was 7:19, which means you should have davened Shemoneh Esrei either at or after 7:19. So those of us who davened earlier... says the next halacha. So later on in that siman, the Mechaber writes the following siman in halacha tezayin. Bishas hadchak, if a person is up against the wall, he needs to go on the road. He can even daven lechatchila after alois ha-shachar. But he still has to wait for Krishma until he reaches the time for Krishma, which I hope to discuss tonight as well. So this is a little bit of a saving grace for all of us who have to get to work or need to be at certain places, that we can daven even the chatchila after alois. I say this many times, and I'll urge it again. For those people who wake up early and have absolutely nowhere to go, they're just going to sit around their house and, I don't know, do what? I don't think it's correct to daven at the early minyanim. I think for a person who doesn't have to be at work, doesn't have an appointment, doesn't have responsibilities, just to get up early because he can't sleep late, you're more than happy to come to my house and watch my kids, but I don't think it's right to get up and daven before Nates. I think it's b'di'evit. Why would someone want to daven b'di'evid if they can daven l'chadchila? So if you need to go somewhere, so now your b'di'evid becomes a l'chadchila. But if you're getting up and you have really nowhere to go, just that, you know, you're so used to it from when you work, or you're so used to it on Sunday, or you're so used to it on a holiday, I don't think it's correct. I think the better option would be is to try to sleep late. And if you can't sleep late, so get up and learn. Again, I don't think you should get up and start doing, you know, field work. I don't think you should get up and start, cleaning up and doing things that might be awesome before davening. You have to learn that sugya, whole separate sugya. But I think a person should try to daven after nights.
Even if it's not nights.
What do you mean?
No, even if it's not mine, you can't do things.
Already before Allah, you can't do things. Because that's when you technically can daven. So I think we just have to be a little bit more aware of the zmanim. In the winter, nates is very late. So if a person's going to daven at 6:30 minyan and then come home and really do nothing, I think that's davening b'diyev. Yoytze. The Mishnah Shulchan Aruch says yoytze. I'm not denying it. But if you want to daven the chadchila, that's the preferred version. But for those of us who have places to go on a regular day, you have to work, responsibilities, whatever it may be, so the Shulchan Aruch says you can daven after Elois. Again, when is Elois HaShachar? That's why I think Alois HaShachar is an extremely important zman to tackle and to get clear, because it's relevant for many areas. Let's see one more area, and then we'll finally answer the question, when is Alois HaShachar? Shulchan Aruch writes in number 11. Misha hu einis, someone who's an einis, going to say, mashkim lotzis aderech, he needs to go on the road, b'mokim gidudei chayev listed. He's got to travel in a dangerous place. He can't stop, and there's no way he could say Kriya Shema with any form of kavanah. Afilu ad levavecha, oishib neha shiure holchem meheir leim tenoloi klal, the train's leaving and not waiting for him. Says the Shulchan Aruch, yochali kreise im berchosel misha'ol amar ha-shachar. The earliest time you can say kriyashma is after Alois. The kivin sha'ol amar ha-shachar, since it reaches Alois, shapi kirina be'uf kumecha. It's a fulfillment of the pasuk when people get up, and therefore you can already say kriyashma. So it's important. Let's say a person has a funny morning, or let's go the other way. Let's say a person decides he wants to daven at the 9 o'clock minyan on his day off. But the 9 o'clock minyan is a questionable making his man kriyashma. So he decides he's going to be a real chacham. He's going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get up, say kriyashma, and go back to bed. There's nothing a better feeling in the world than getting into bed, knowing you have another 3 hours to sleep. It's a geshmaka feeling. Ask any yeshiva bach, he'll tell you it's the greatest feeling in the world, going back into bed for another 3 hours. The question was, was he yaitzeb his manai? Is that too early? So Shulchan Aruch says that if you're pressed up against the wall, then you could read it after Alois. What about this guy? He's not pressed for anything. So Shulchan Aruch writes in number 12, in Siman Nun Ches, in Karim, Inshallah, Amar HaShachar, let's say B'di'evit, you had no idea what anything is. You got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you said Kriya Shema. And then you went back into bed to the 9 o'clock minyan. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Afa B'Shaloy HaYo'inus, you were not an Inus, you just wanted to sleep late. Yotza B'di'evit. You were Yaitzah. So let's say, for example, a person gets up on Shabbos morning, he wants to daven at the late minyan Shabbos morning. Because the Mishnah Berurah writes, based on the Ramah, you're supposed to wake up late on Shabbos morning. So you want to daven late. But it's a question of Kriya Shema. So you slept so much Friday night, by the time it hits 6 o'clock, you're ready to go. So you get up at 6, you say Kriya Shema, then you go back to bed. Were you Yaitzah Kriya Shema? So if 6 o'clock is Alois HaShachar, B'di'evit, you were Yaitzah. If 6 o'clock is before Alois HaShachar, but the Yevid, you weren't Yaitzah. So it's important to know when Alois HaShachar is. So we have a bunch of areas where it's extremely relevant to know when Alois HaShachar is. So now we have to try to figure out, so when is Alois HaShachar? Okay. In order to answer that question, we have to see two pieces of Gemara in Pesachim. The first piece of Gemara in Pesachim is on Tzad Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara over there is discussing a Shiloh that's not Negev Manazeh, is trying to understand, how do you understand the Pasuk about Karban Pesach? The Pasuk says, the Parsha Pesach Sheni, if someone's B'derech Rechayk, someone was far away, and he couldn't get close enough there to Yerushalayim to bring the Karban Pesach, so he has Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, what's close and what's far. That's not relevant to us, but what is relevant is that the Gemara gives us some very, very important terminologies. The Gemara says like this, Omar Ula min Amadiim to Yerushalayim Chamisha Esem Mil. Have it. Fine. Ula says that from Modiim to Yerushalayim, it's 15 mil. Okay. Says the Gemara, Ki hada Omar Rabba Barachana Omar Biyechan. Kama mahalach adam biyeh. How much does the average person travel on one day? Says the Gemara, Asara Parsois. The average person travels 10 parsa. Now there's 10 parsas is 40 mil. Okay. So the math comes out. If 10 parsas is 40 mil, so there's 4 mil to a parsa. Did I get that right? The other way around, right? Okay. We might need our calculators for the rest of this. Okay. Says the Gemara, a person goes 10 parsa mi alois ha-shach ha-vada neitzachama. From alois till neitz, I'm sorry, says the Gemara, a person goes 10 parsa during the day. Now the Gemara breaks it down for us. Says the Gemara, mi alois ha-shach ha-vada neitzachama. From alois ha-shach until neitz, Chameshas milin. A person goes 5 mil. So it means the time between alois and eitz is the time it takes a person to walk 5 mil. Mishkia hasacham av atzeis gchavim. From shkia to tzeis, chameshas milin. A person also goes 5 mil. So if a person goes 5 mil between alois and eitz, 5 mil between shkia and tzeis, so how many are left with during the day? We're left with 30. Says the Gemara, Pashal Utilson. You're left with 30 mil for the rest of the day. Says the Gemara, so Chamesa mitzafa the palga diema, the Chamesa mi palga diema lorcha. So you split the 15 and 15 for the morning travel and 15 for the afternoon travel. That's how you get your 40 mil. Okay? That's Ulashit. Why is this important to us? Because the time the Gemara says between Alois, between Nates and Alois, between Alois and Nates, says the Gemara is how long it takes a person to walk 5 mil. Now, how long does it take a person? How long does it take for a person to walk 5 mil? And then I'll be able to figure out in minutes. And then I'll be able to figure out in minutes how much is the time between Alois and Nates. Nates is undisputed. Nates is the one zman that we don't fight about. Maybe we'll talk about next week. Why not? But Nates is undisputed. So let's say, for example, Nates is 7:19. So now, if I know that Nates is 7:19, and I know Alois is 5 mil in between, so once I figure out how much a mil is, times it by 5, and subtract, I'll know what time Alois is. Seems a very simple calculation. So according to Ulo, you got to figure out how much a mil is, times it by 5, and then I'll know when Alois starts. Okay, terrific.
But then the time difference between Alois and Nates and Shkia, Sachar, and Tzeis should be the exact same thing.
Which is what the Gemara says.
Right, which is not what Zman said.
Yeah, we're going to have to get to... Beli Nedid next week is when we're going to get into the controversial discussion about when Shkia and Tzeis is. That's for next week. This week we're going to try to deal with Alois, if we can get to it even that much. Then the Gemara, so that's one Gemara. So according to Ula, how many mil do you calculate between Alois and Nates? It's 5 mil. Okay? So now, let's see one more Gemara. The Gemara tells us in the next Amud and Psachim that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. If you skip to the middle of the Amud of 14, it says, Meis Rabbi Yehuda Omer. How much does the average person walk during the day? Then, again, Esa Parsois. We come up with the same conclusion. The average person walks 10 parsa, 40 mil a day. He changes it from Ula. He says the average person doesn't go from Alois to Nates 5 mil, but Alois to Nates is 4 mil. Mishkiya Sacham Vasiz Chavim is 4 mil. Nimtza says, okay, that's the Chajmel Gemar. Great. What does this do for us? So if we can figure out how to calculate a mil, we can figure out when Alois HaShachar is. According to Ula, it's going to be times 5. According to Behuda, it's going to be times 4. So how do we calculate this? So the way most Achreinim assume is like this. The way the Vilna Gaon assumes is what we do is, according to Behuda, we take 12 hours. That's the middle of the day. Okay, the first half is, we said it was 4 hours. Then there was 4 mil in the end, 4 mil in the beginning. So if you subtract 40 minus 8, you're left with 32 mil. That's the bulk of the day, is 32 mil. If you take the average day is 12 hours times 60 minutes, that takes us to 720 minutes. So if you take 720 minutes and you divide it by 32 mil, so the math comes out to be how many mil make up a minute?
25,
the way it comes out is it comes out to be 22.5. If you take 720 minutes and you divide it, I told you we need a calculator for today's share, and divide it by 32, because those are the remaining day amount of mil that a person walks, it comes out to 22.5. That's the Vilna Gaon Shita and how much a mil is. A mil is 22.5. So now let's go back to our Gemara. We don't paskin like Ula, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So a mil is 22.5 minutes. So now it's 4 mil between Alois and Nates. Between Nates and Alois. So you take 22.5 and times it by 4, that comes out to be? 96. So that's where we get the shear of 96 minutes for the time between Nates and Alois. Okay, that's one shita.
No, it's 90.
That's one shita. It's 96.
No, it's
90.
That's 90 minutes.
Between Alois and Nates, according to the Vilna Gaon, it's 22.5 times 4. 90 minutes. Okay. That's 90 minutes. That's if you go like that. There's a third calculation that we'll have to see, is that if you hold like Ula, if you go like Ula, so you take the same cheshbon. According to Ula, you have 30 mil in during the day. Because he subtracts 5 and 5, you're left with 30. So you take 720 and divide it by 30, that's going to take you to
24.
So according to that shita, a mil is 24 minutes. If you times that by 4, so the time between Alois and Nates would then be then it would be 96. That is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that a mil is 24 minutes. We all think of a mil in neither of these two zmanim. If you'd stop a person on the street and ask him how long a mil is, the average person would say 18 minutes. Right? We'll see where that comes from in a second. So there's basically three major shitas in how do you get the calculation of a mil. Either it's 18 minutes, 22.5, or 24 minutes. Why is it so important? Because the Gemara says, the time between Alois and Nates is 4 mil. So you got to do everything times 4, and then you'll know exactly when everything is. Okay, terrific. Now, before we even move on to discuss Alois, there's many other halachas in life that are totally in a mil. So you got to know how much a mil is. For example, I picked two interesting ones. If you look at number 15, the Mechaber writes like this: Hayitzarich lenakav. A person needs to go to the bathroom. So the halacha is al yispalel. A person is not permitted to daven if he needs to use the bathroom. If he mispalel, and if he does daven while he needs to go to the bathroom, tefillah se toyeva. His tefillah is an abomination. But tzarich lazer lispalel, he must daven again. Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'hani mili sheni yochel amir atzmi shir hilich parsa. That's only if he can't hold it enough time to walk a parsa. Avlam yochel amir atzmi shir parsa. But if he can hold it enough, the time it takes to work a parsa, yatsa b'di'evet. Well, how long does it take to work a parsa? Says the Mishnah Berurah, hu arba milin. That's 4 mil, okay? How much is a mil? So you got to plug it back in. Either it's 18 times 4, 22.5 times 4, 24 times 4. You got to know this. You got to know when you're figuring out, should I go to the bathroom before Shema Nesser or not, you got to start doing some math. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and this is where it all comes from, hu arba milin, shu shir sho'o v'chaymish. It's an hour and a fifth, which roughly comes out to be 72 minutes, which means 18. A mil is 18. Okay, so this is the famous Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah goes with the ruling of what's known as the Trumas Hadeshen, that a mil is 18 minutes. Okay, fine. Another interesting halacha,
no basis for the
which we didn't yet explain how it works until the Gemara, which I don't know if I will tonight at all. Yeah, which is the one we most of us assume like, even though the Vilna Gaon says not like that. The Vilna Gaon says it's 22.5. There's a Mishnah Berurah on the bottom of the page. Yeah, we're going to try to get to that today. Hopefully, it's not Blinder the next week. There's a Mishnah Berurah on the bottom of the page, which I think is interesting. Mishnah Berurah says a very interesting halacha that a lot of people don't know about. The halacha is the following. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is found in Siman Reish Mem. Siman Reish Mem is a very, not controversial, but a Siman Shulchan Aruch that discusses Hilchas Tashmish, proper etiquette between husband and wife, which again, the Rebbe Yashiv already writes, is no one should learn Siman Reish Mem on their own. Because there are things that are written in the Mechaber that you have to know what he means and how he means it. So Siman Reish Mem is the one Siman Shulchan Aruch that you need some form of adrach and how to learn. But there's a Mishnah Berurah over there at the end of Siman Reish Mem who writes the following halacha. The Isha Meinekes, a nursing mother, she's not allowed to live with her husband unless the baby's sleeping. But after they have tashmish, you're not allowed to nurse the baby until 2 mil have passed. Okay? How long is 2 mil? So it's either going to be a mil is 18 minutes, or again, if you hold the mil is 24 minutes, that's 48 minutes you have to wait until you nurse the baby. It's a long time. Says Mr. Buravim, Atinik Boiche, that the baby's crying. So Tapton Lapacha Shimil. You should wait at least a mil, which again, either 18, 22.5, or 24. So this is another halacha where it's irrelevant to know how long a mil is. You have to figure it out. You gotta get out your calculator and calculate. Yeah, again, whatever this means that you can push off the baby. Now, most of the times when a lady nurses a baby, it's because the baby's crying. It's not because the baby's due for a feeding. Usually, they're due for a feeding is they let you know that by crying. But this, okay, this is not for now. There is a whole discussion, whatever. If you pump the milk, can you still give it? If it's pumped, it's not directly. Okay, against the discussion. This is really Alpi Kabbalah. It's based on Azari. So again, another halacha that works with mil. You gotta know what a mil is in order to know what to do. So let's see the last place where mil comes in, and this will again dictate how to calculate a mil. Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Pesach. Says the Mechaber number 17, you should never let the dough sit without being busy with it. Even for 1 minute. The asking boy, as long as you're busy with it, if you play with the dough a whole day long, it will not turn chametz. Sheer mill, again that word comes up again, if you let the dough sit, the time it takes to walk a mill, says the Mechaber, then the dough becomes chametz. The sheer mill have. How long is a mil? Revius sha'a, a quarter of an hour. V'chelik me'esr min hasha. How much is that in English? Says the Mishnah Berurah. V'hu yud ches minutin. This is the Mishnah Berurah. L'shitasai. The Mishnah Berurah is a big believer that a mil is 18 minutes. So then if a mil is 18 minutes, Alois HaShachar is going to be 72 minutes before Neitzachama. Very good. Says the Mishnah Berurah further over here. V'ayin b'ber halacha del inyam melicha. Another halacha, which I didn't bother going into too much because we don't do it too much in our homes, is malicha. How long does the salt have to sit on the meat for in order to be considered a malicha? That's also the time it takes to do a mil. Now he talks about 24 minutes. Here the Mr. Brewer mentions a 24-minute share. We just mentioned the 24-minute share earlier. The 24-minute share. Says the Ber Halacha number 19. He quotes over here. He calculates it to be 22.5, as we mentioned earlier. So, what do you do when it comes to baking matzah? When you go to bake matzah, do you ask them, well, how long did you let it sit? Did it sit for the 22.5 mil, or was it 18 mil, or was it 24 mil? Makes a big difference. So, the halacha passes with regard to matzah, he says, if it goes more than 18 minutes, it's chametz. That's because you hold 18 minutes as a mil. But if you hold a mil as 22.5, so you got 2.5 minutes. You're 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes. You can still let the that's what we have to see. Are we machmer on both sides of things for a mil? Omnam behefsin meruba says a mil chabel. Let's say it's going to be a big loss. You baked a whole loaf of matzah, a whole batch of matzah, using 22.5 as a mil. So now no one wants to buy it. You have to throw out the matzah. Says the Mr. Brewer, this market can be mekel. He thinks as long as it didn't go more than 22.5, unless you see that it clearly looks like it turns into chametz. Okay, so the Mr. Brewer believes in 18 minutes, the Goyin believes in 22.5, and I believe the Shulchan Aruch Rav, at least in one place, holds 24 minutes. So that's the three major shiurim for how to calculate a mil. If you look in Rishonim, in the Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis, there's a stira. If you look in one place, in number 20, this is the Rambam Pirsha Mishnayis in Sechas Psachim. There the Rambam writes, v'shi'uroi, how much is a mil? Kadei she'halach odem baraglav halicha beinis. The average person walks, mil, echad, 1 mil, v'hu shir, min azman shu shnei chum she'sha. 2/5 of an hour. Anyone know how much 2/5 of an hour is?
24 minutes.
So here the Rambam is passing that a mil is 24 minutes. Then the Rambam writes a Pirsha Mishnayis in Maseches Brachos. Says the Rambam, "What's Amor Hashachar? Who are Or Hanoitzes Mipas Mizruch? It's the light that comes out on the east side. Koydem Alois Hashemesh Bichtei Shav Chaimesh. An hour and a fifth. That's 72 minutes. So it's a stira in Rambam. Does the Rambam hold it's 18 minutes, or does the Rambam hold it's 24 minutes? A stira in Rambam. Okay. The Magen Avraham addresses it. The Chazon Ish addresses it. So it's not clear. But the four basic zmanim that we know and are used to, that either a mil is 18 minutes, that seems to be clearly the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, or a mil is 22.5, or a mil is 24. Great. So based on all this, you would say to yourself, okay, this is no brainer. I know how to figure out Alei Seshachar. You just told me that Nate's 7:19. So I subtract 7:19 minus 72 takes me to what? Anyone know some quick math?
6:56.
It takes me to 6:06. Right, 6:06. It's an hour. 72 minutes. So 7:19 is Nate's. So Alois Hashachar is 6:06. Right, that's simple, easy. The whole shit is a no-brainer, right? There's one problem. The mistake that people make is the Gemara said that there's 72 minutes between Alois and Nate's. That's true. That's talking about in Bavel, or really talking about in Eretz Yisrael. All of these factors change based on where you live and the location where you're located. So when the Gemara said the time between Nates and Alois is 72 mil, that didn't mean that's locked in number and you use that number every day, no matter where you live. What the Gemara meant is, you got to figure out when 72 minutes between those two parts in Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel, what is the degree of the sun? And that's the degree of the sun you'll use all the time.
That's how we got Rav Moshe with 50 minutes.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. We'll see in a second. We'll see. Oh, yeah, we'll get to Rabbeinu Tam for next week, I hope. So Imkain points out to Vilna Gaon, when the Gemara was saying 72 minutes, it wasn't a locked in time. It was 72 minutes in Eretz Yisrael in a perfect day when everything was working with 12 hours. So what the Gemara meant was, is take that equation and plug it in and say that whenever it's going to be 72 minutes between Alois, that exact degree is Alois HaShachar. What?
How do you apply that to matzah?
No, you're not going
to
apply that to matzah.
You can't, no, I'm saying.
By matzah, you won't.
No, I'm not. So how do you start?
Because by zmanim, everyone agrees, scientists and rabbis, that the way you live is going to affect the change. So when the Gemara said 72, it wasn't a din, a loy plug 72 minutes.
Right.
It meant that you have to measure.
But we're using that to
No. No, but it still does. Mill's not, okay, we're not arguing how long a mill is. Let's say a mill is, let's say Naniach a mill is 72 minutes. But when the Gemara said 72 minutes, the Gemara never meant to count backwards. What the Gemara meant is that 72 minutes at a perfect day, check what is the degree of the sun, and that degree is when you'll know when Alois HaShachar is. In Cain, the whole idea to say that Nates is 70, that Alois is 72 minutes is really not correct. And as we'll see later on, this is really a made-up thing. It's made up. It's a new phenomenon that came about 50 or 60 years ago. If you look, and this fellow who wrote the book, he proves it. If you look at any luach from before the Holocaust, there is not one luach across the board of Europe that ever suggests that Alois HaShachar is exactly 72 minutes every single day before Nates. He believes there's absolutely no source for it, and it's incorrect. So how do we calculate Nates, Alois? With 16.1 degrees below the horizon, that's the equivalent of 72 minutes of Bavel or Eretz Yisrael. When is 16.1 degrees Alois today? It's actually at 551. A difference of 15 minutes between what people think is Alois and what really is Alois. So you'll say, big deal, huge deal. If you ate at 6 o'clock on Asar B'Tevis, so according to what we're saying right now, you ate on a fast day. Right. You can't say Aneinu. You probably shouldn't get Shlishi. You're not fasting. Because if you go with... those modern that said 6 away, because they were playing the 72 game. They were saying, oh, 72 minutes. They went to look up at Nates and they went backwards. But the way the Vilna Gaon says it, that's not the correct way to calculate it. The way you have to calculate it is with degrees. 60.1 degree below the horizon, that's really 72 minutes of the Gemara. That's really significantly earlier. They checked it out. The scientists have been able to prove that if you look at the again, this is what he discusses in the book. I'm just giving you the easy version of it. Is that based on the way the sun is situated, again, you can't do any of this in the city. If you want to do this right, Rabbi Willick says he did this when he was up in camp in the summer. I know others have done the same thing. You got to go up in the mountains where you can actually see things. Here in the city, you don't see anything. You see smog and pollution. But if you want to go out in the early mornings in the summer, you can start to see, you'll see the sun under, and then you'll see the sun hit the horizon, you'll see exactly this all happen, and you'll be able to tell what exactly we're talking about. So if you were to look at the Mai Zman in the back of the wall, they put two Zmanim up for Alois. The first Zman they call is 606, and then right next to it they write 16.1 degrees. What is that referring to? That's what I would say, if I may be so bold, is the correct Alois HaShachar. The correct Alois HaShachar is not using minutes, instead using degrees. Measuring what 72 minutes looked like in Eretz Yisrael, putting that, figuring out what that degree was, plugging it back into our world, and figuring out that 16.1 degrees below the horizon, which is a significantly different time for what they call Alois, which is major nafkaminas in major areas. Bris Milah. Someone performs a Bris Milah at 6 o'clock in the morning. So for those people, they'll tell you, lo yotza. According to the people who put the fast starting at 6 away, they'll tell you, you're not yotza, you did bris milah at night. We'll say, no, you were yotza. Negate shema, shmanesri, megillah, shayfer, it goes on and on and on. So most of the times, it's a kula, because it's earlier, which means you can start your day earlier. But for a fast day, it's a major chumrah. You got to look at the clock. So again, I would argue that lechatchila for sure, for fast days, a person should be machmir for the 16.1 measure. Again, people today don't. Again, I'm not here to argue, and I'm not going to hear argue. And I don't know what the young kids will send up for Haskalah's Tanis is. He says, okay, I'm not going to fight. But for me, I started the fast at 16.1. Now, I taka found there's a tshuva from Reb Shlomo Miller. Shlomo Miller is a big paisik in Toronto. Well, he writes the same thing. He says, people have to be aware of this, that the fast really starts at 16.1. The fast does not. Today it's 551 versus 606. I think on the fast it was about 550. It was a difference of 15 minutes below the horizon. That's when the sun, what we call Alois HaShachar, is really 16.1 degrees. That's when it's starting to. You'll see a little bit of light, not full light. That's correct. Right. That's what we call today Alois. 16.1 degrees in New York. This is in New York. Let's clarify. It's going to depend where you go. Again, if you go back and you look at the Zmanim chart and you'll go my Zmanim, different communities, it will be about a minute off. So you got to make sure you know what community you're in. Queens, Five Towns, this, you know, everything is slightly different. So if you go to when the share's over, you go and you look at my Zmanim. So on the my Zmanim on the phone, when I Google it, it just gives you one Zman. It gives you 16.1 Zman, nothing else. If you look at the my Zmanim in the back over there, the printed one, it gives you two Zmanim. It gives you the, we'll say, the minhag version of 72 minutes, no matter what day of the year it is. And then it gives you right next to it the 16.1. I'd venture to believe the 16.1 is the more correct of the two aloses.
Although the yeshiva world is also giving out, I'm looking at some of the...
What do they say?
Without quoting the yeshiva, they had 606 as this month that they're starting. It's a well-recognized yeshiva.
So let's try to understand, why do some people stick with this idea? So let's talk about that for a second. Now, the truth is, you have to plug everything back. Because this is all... 16.1 is if you assume that it's 72 mil. If you assume it's a different zman, so then obviously it's going to affect the degrees as well. So
but it'll make it worse even though.
It will make it more problematic.
Yeah, well, certainly in the best case. We took the best case scenario of 72 minutes.
Right. The problem is many achrayim argue that if you look at 90 minutes, it comes out to be 19.7 degrees below the horizon, and 120 would come out to be 25.9 degrees below the horizon. Anyone who studied this will tell you there is no light at that time. No, this is why this is a very hard to believe. The earliest time you'll see any light is 16.1. Right, so many achrayim are extremely skeptical of those people that will plug in mil and then on top of that use degrees that they're going to run themselves into trouble. Now, if you look, if you ever go down to MTJ Yeshiva, MTJ Yeshiva, Taka writes Alois at 18 degrees below the horizon. That's what Rabbi Feinstein's Alois Hashach. Okay, it's not so far off from 16, but it's somewhat skeptical whether or not 18 really works. So again, if you...
That's an earlier
part. 18 would be a little earlier. But the argument that they make is that the sun's... There's nothing there. Alois HaShach has to be some light. There's nothing there. So if you look at your average Maizmanim chart, you're going to see 16.1 degrees below the horizon. So that's 16... Earlier, 18 means we're going downwards and upwards. We're working our way up to the horizon. So 18 degrees below the horizon is earlier. Then we go 16 and we go all the way up. So that's why, for example, to say that you're going to end up at 25 degrees below the horizon, it's pitch dark.
Unless that, it's the first ray of light.
The Achrenim argue that, again, I never tried that, but the way they say, those who study it, I've heard this from many people, it's just too dark. So let's, again, if you look at my Zmanim chart, you're going to go back to, you'll read the wall, you'll see it says 16.1. What is 16.1? So the answer is that 16.1 is really 72 minutes in degrees. That's where the sun is situated, at least in New York, it's 16.1 degrees below the horizon, and that's really Alois HaShach. So now the question is, so where did this whole 72 minutes come from? Did everyone miss the boat? So the truth is, there's a comment from one letter from Reb Henkin. In one letter, Reb Henkin talks about a fellow who davened Shachris more than 72 minutes after Nates. And Reb Henkin writes, he davened more. So Reb Henkin said he's loyotza. After Nates. He davened more than 72 minutes prior to Nates. So Reb Henkin writes, loyotza. So everyone says, you see Reb Henkin born into 72 minutes. Maybe not. I don't know. So the real Makar, this fellow who wrote a sefer, wrote a terrific sefer, he thinks the Makar started from a dayan in London. There's a very famous dayan in London who didn't die so long ago, Rev Padua. Chanoich Padua. He wrote many tshuvas. The problem was in England, one day they decided they're not switching to daylight savings time. They're keeping daylight savings time, which creates a major problem for davening. So then this big rav in London, he researched the whole sugya and he concluded we should go back to using or start using 72 minutes across the board, which no one ever heard of in their life. This was a new phenomenon. No one ever heard of such a thing. And he was the one who started it, and that's where we got it from today. But if you look again, this fellow who wrote the sefer makes the argument. If you look in any luach prior to Holocaust, you will see no luach whatsoever that indicates 72 minutes no matter what day it is. And he points out something fabulous. He says if you're going to work with 72 minutes every single day of the year, it's going to come out then in the summer, Misha Yakir and Aloysa at the same time, which is impossible. It can't be. That can't be. How can Alois and Mashiach be at the exact same minute? He says in the summer, that can fall out in New York. So he says, it can't be. Something's wrong.
So it's next door. Tomorrow morning, it starts 6:04.
So 6:04.
Is that Alois?
That is after. 6:04, according to us, is after Alois. Work with 16.1. So that's Mashiach. We got to get to that next week. I hope to get to today. I ran out of time.
So that's the Alois.
So Alois is the first. The next major amount is Mashiach here. Then we hit Nates, and then we'll continue on. So B'li Neder, next week I'd like to discuss Mashiach here, Kriyashma Tfilah, and if there's time, when Shabbos is really over. Okay.